Hey, hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 62. Psalm 62. For the choir director, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is thine, O Lord. For thou dost recompense a man according to his work. Amen. Amen. Kind of as a note, I'm not wearing my mask to teach today, and we will keep this as a policy as long as you do your RAT test in the morning. I think this is how most of the churches are doing it during this season. So if you're on the worship team or you're on the stage, as long as you take your RAT test in that morning and it's negative, then you're able to do that. Okay, so just as a clarification, in case any of you are wondering. But Psalm 62. So this is for the choir director, and this is probably the choir director is Jeduthun. And in Chronicles, First Chronicles, it tells us that he was a gatekeeper. And so that could mean a couple different things. Most likely, it probably means that he was probably the best musician. So he was the best singer of the group. And so this is a special direction for this particular person. To do this. It's a Psalm of David, and this psalm is a little different than most of the other psalms that are here. Obviously, David is going through a very difficult time as he writes this psalm, as he writes this song. But unlike other psalms, there's not really any complaint that's happening here. There's not a voice of dissension or something. Like, we don't know exactly what the situation is. But in this psalm, David is not complaining. He's not laying out a situation per se. He starts off and he's basically using these words, my soul waits in silence for God only. In other words, only God, only from God can I find strength. Only from God do I set my heart in this place before him. He is my only, and he'll continue on, he's my only refuge and my strength and all these things. And from him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Notice that word greatly there, because we'll touch back on it a bit later on. Notice all throughout this psalm, this is such a personal thing for David. He didn't say God is salvation. He didn't say God is strength. God is the rock. God is the refuge. He said God is my salvation. God is my rock. God is my strength. And so all these things incorporated really dealt with a personal relationship with God. He received all these things from God. It was very personal. It was very intimate. No wonder he can only trust him only. Because it was such a personal thing for David. And he just speaks about this the whole time. Now he gets into the part where he's addressing issues that are going on. And like I said, usually in the psalm, David starts with that. He starts with the issue, and then you find him kind of maturing through this song or getting revelation through this song. But this one is very different. He starts off in a high place, and then he says, Lord, how long, and I should say this, the audience now, the first part, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. This is spoken out to other people. And then in verse 3, this is spoken out to his enemies now. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence? There is some discussion about the leaning wall and tottering fence. Who's is a leaning wall? Is it David or is it the enemies? And all kind of depends on how you read this. Some translations think that the enemies are the tottering wall. Most translations actually believe that David is. And so what they're trying to say is like it's like a fragile fence. And these guys are trying to knock this fence down or knock this wall down. And I think that's the typical translation. And that's the kind of one that kind of makes more sense to me personally. But he's saying like, how long will you, and he's speaking to the enemies of David, how long will you persistently trouble and persecute the innocent? That's basically what he's saying. And says, and you're gonna, that you may murder him. Remember the word murder, not kill. And so we're talking about a very decisive, a very sinful act that's taking place here, a very evil act. And it says in verse 4, and then the fact they have counseled only to thrust him down from his high place. In other words, all they want to do is bring this person down. That's their evil intent. This is their heart. That's all they want to do. And they delight in falsehood. So they're liars, but even more than that, it's actually even deeper. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they're cursed. They're hypocrites. And so they're fake. Not only do they lie, but it's like a whole nother level because they say good things in front of you and then behind you stab you in your back. I mean, that's a horrible place to be at. And to be quite frank, you know, I've had some people that I've known in ministry. It was actually a long time ago when I first got into ministry, and I remember when I was a youth pastor, I was part of like this group of youth pastors, and we'd meet together and stuff, and I'd be like, hey, you know, hi, and hey, hello, everything's great, and I'd say, oh yeah, man, you know, hey Sam, how you doing? You know, how's your ministry? Oh, I have heard great things about you, and these kind of things, and then I would hear from my youth group students that the guy like preached against me last week, you know, in his sermon, because you know, our church, we're going through some revival and there, you know, there were some charismatic things happening. And so it was crazy. I'm like, well, this is so weird. You know, how do you praise me with your mouth and then talk evil behind me? But it happens all the time. You know, and that was my first instance of like, oh, people, there's even people in ministry are weird. You know, like you can't just take it for granted that everyone's going to be in right relationship with God. And so I've experienced this. I'm sure you've experienced this as well. People say good things in front of you and then stab you, you know, in your back. And in fact, sometimes just stab you in your front and these type of things. And it's a horrible feeling to be in. And this is what David is lamenting. This is what's happening to him. So most likely he's talking about his counselors. It could be something to do with Absalom, with his son. I'm just kind of talking about this could be the situation by which David writes this. But it's certain situations where outwardly, oh, David, you're such a great king. Isn't that what Absalom did? David is an awesome king. He's a really great king. But, you know, and then when David's not around, Absalom would share with people all the horrible things that David had done and the bad decisions that he made and why he's not should not be the king. And in fact, Absalom says he should be the king instead. It's the same idea, and it's so evil. And in fact, David causes us to pause at the end of verse 4, a Selah, just to sit back and say, okay, let's let that really sink in here. Yeah, you see evil men, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to try to bring you down in this place. And so then, verse 5, and notice a shift that takes place here. He says, let me read verse 1 again. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. And then in verse 5, now who is David speaking to? He's speaking to himself. He says, my soul, wait in silence for God only. So now, so the beginning he makes a proclamation. Now he's speaking to himself. And he's saying, soul, this is like, soul, this is what I want you to do. I want you to wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. And catch this, end of verse 6. I shall not be shaken. Remember earlier, what did he say? He says, I shall not be greatly shaken. And then David says, you know what? I shall not be shaken. He's growing. His confidence in God is growing. He's maturing. Like something's happening within him in the course of verse 2 to verse 5. And or verse 6. You have to know, David didn't write this in one sitting. Like most of the Psalms, some of these Psalms actually were written over a period of years. And some of you that are songwriters, I mean, I'm not a songwriter. My dream is to write a song, but I've not received any inspiration yet, and I don't have no musical talent whatsoever. But my dream is to write a song, a worship song. So I believe it's going to happen one day. But some of you guys that are songwriters, and I know because I've talked to some of you, it takes a long time to write a song. And so sometimes we read the Psalms, we think that David did it in one sitting. No, this probably took a long time. But you could see this confidence grow in him. He went from, I shall not be greatly shaken, which is still quite a positive thing. And then he makes a proclamation. You know what? I tell you, soul, I will not be shaken. And it's I don't know, I find so much joy in just even watching David grow. And that's the thing, that when you set your heart to God, guess what? You are going to grow. It's a simple reality. All living things grow. And if you have a relationship with God that is alive, guess what? You are going to grow. You're going to be more mature at the end of this year than you were today. You're going to be more mature next year than you were today. You will grow. All living things grow. And so we see David growing even in the midst of his difficulty. And if it really is about Absalom, can you imagine how difficult that your own son betrays you? I mean, this is crazy situation. And so he says, he makes a command, I will not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. He's saying that my glory is not because I'm the king. My glory is not because I'm so wealthy. My glory is not because I have so much power or I've been victorious in battle. My glory comes from the Lord. On God and on my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is from God. Everything is from the Lord. And so now he's speaking to himself. Now he goes back and now he speaks to the people. He says, trust in him at all times, O people. He believes that this is so worthy to be praised. That he's coming into this revelation and I will not be shaken. Everything I have belongs to you, God. I rest on you in salvation. Salvation is more than anything else. And so then you can see this praise and he says, people, everyone out here, listen, trust him at all times. This is what we need to do as the people of God. Pour out your heart before him because God is a refuge for us. And then, Selah, another pause. Just meditate on that truth. Everyone, people, trust him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. David could say that because God was his refuge. Remember, he says, my refuge previously. And then he goes into some teaching. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In other words, high men, low men, all the same thing. They're all measured out. And this is a little bit more of like Hebrew poetry. Like, you don't have to read too much into it. They're all together, and he says they're all like a vapor. Reminds us in the New Testament when the scriptures tell us that our life is but a mere vapor. He says men of high degree, men of low degree, it's all nothing. It's all vanity in this way. And then he continues on and says, do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. And David is one who amassed great, great wealth. And he knew, don't trust in your riches. Don't trust in the wealth that you've accumulated here. Don't think that in this way that money is going to solve everything. And most likely the situation at hand here is there's probably been some exchange of funds basically to betray David. And he may be referring to that in that way. And so he says, don't do that. And then in verse 11, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. This is another Hebrew poetry saying how this is important. And he says that power belongs to God. Everything, all this is from the Lord. And loving kindness is His, O Lord. And you recompense a man according to his work. Now, usually, when we look at passages like this, like, you recompense a man according to his work, this sounds like judgment, usually. But the way that David is writing this, he's not talking about judgment. He's actually talking about a blessing. He's using the word, the hesed, the loving kindness. And so what he's referring to, and probably what's happening is, in this day and age, good works, uprightness, is not really valued that well. And so he's encouraging the people that, listen, even though this is not valued well, God will reward you. Your good works, your mercy, your justice, there will be a great reward for that. And so the idea is not really a judgment ending. It's more of a blessing that lays out. Right? Loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. You will reward this man. Even though in this culture of this age, right, honesty, truth, these things are not valued, it's valued in the kingdom of God. And you will receive your reward for this justice. So, let's close our eyes. Beautiful psalm. There's no pressure, Samuel, but there actually is a vineyard song out of this passage, but I'm sure you don't know it. Yeah, I don't think anyone in this church knows it, but there's a beautiful, beautiful vineyard song that actually is exactly this passage. One of my favorite, actually. But it's okay. No, I shouldn't even said that. Added pressure for nothing. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning as Samuel gets ready to lead us in a song. Especially if you're going through a difficult time, allow God to mature you in that process. We can almost read the psalm kind of like, almost in the beginning, it's David's like, well, maybe I won't be shaken that much. And it moves into the resolve, I will not be shaken. And there's a maturing that happens. But I think that maturing happens because he has set his face for only God. Remember a long time ago, Pastor Ed came and spoke at SP. And he talked about our relationship with God. And remember, he was, at one stage, he was no one. And then he became someone. And then he became became number one. But what he needs to become is the only one. And I really took that to heart. For some of us, God being number one is good enough. But you know, number one, that means there's number two, number three, number four. And in fact, there's still a competition. And we need to get to that place of maturity where he's not just number one, but he's the only one. He's not just someone, he's the only one. And David set his heart and he says, you are the only one. I only trust in you. You are my only rock. You are my only refuge. then out of that place, he just grows. And so whatever you're going through today, good or bad, can I invite you to submit it to the Lord, that he becomes our only one. Let's pray that God would really speak to us. He needs to be our only. But then when we get our hearts into that place, things begin to happen inside of us. If there's anything that's competing in your life right now, let's lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's ask God to move in our midst. Especially if you're going through a difficulty like David is. You know, let's start with just that proclamation of faith and then just allow that faith to grow as we surrender to Him. And let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancers and going through therapies. Oh, let's pray for God's healing word. Just a special mention, you'll notice there's Isaac Chung. He had a successful surgery yesterday, but he's feeling quite weak still. Wednesday. He's feeling quite weak still, and so he's sleeping most of the time. So let's pray for a quick recovery so he can regain his strength. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community battling illness, but also needs salvation. Let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray for our sicknesses that are not cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for those that have COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's also pray for their mental health as they're being isolated. Let's pray for medical workers. Let's ask God's blessing over them and protection and strength and courage to continue to minister and treat people all around them. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Thank you. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan, the U.S. and India. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, pray for Jungmin and Hyunjin, pray for SB Tokyo, pray for their unity and the church would really be blessed. They had a baptism last week, one of their members, and really want to praise God for that. Let's also pray for SP New York, pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly as they lead, and the Lord would really move over their home, and pray for Kelly. Kelly is actually in the U.S. right now, renewing her visa, and so we can just pray for her time with her family, and her visa would go through well. Let's lift up. Let's pray over their missions council. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide Pastor Sam Navarro and the team to really lead us in our love for our community and lead us in our missional endeavors. Let's pray for SP Fam. Let's pray for our foster adoption ministry. Let's lift up Cadence and pray for the babies that are in our care. Pray that the adoptions would go through as some of them are in the pipeline. And let's just really ask for God's favor. Let's lift up the gatherings tonight, the intercessory prayer team, the SP Youth and SPU. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide our leaders, our students, our prayer warriors, and that they would just really follow just the heart of God and be led by the Spirit. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies and their families, Joan, Common, Fiona, Leslie, Diane, Winnie, and others. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and just the Lord would just really protect the babies in the womb, and when it's time for delivery, that it would be very smooth and healthy. And let's just lift up their families. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. We're so blessed to read Psalm 62. Lord, to see David's growth and see his resolve to trust you and you alone. Lord, his soul, his heart, everything. Lord, you are his everything, God. And Lord, and out of that space, Lord, that there's been maturity and growth. And we pray for that same maturity and growth to happen in our own lives, God. Lord, as we trust you and you only, God, nothing else, not our riches, not our status, our power, nothing but you. God, and when we come and find our hearts in that place, God, Lord, then we'll see tremendous growth, Lord. We'll see intimacy and closeness, God. And so we thank you, Lord. Watch over us. Lord, watch over, God, all of our friends that we prayed for. Father, continue to bring your healing. Continue to bring your touch. Lord, continue to breathe over this city, Father God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow for community prayer. And then this Sunday, we'll see you live here at church.